just going to see where the Lord takes us. We're taking this out of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8 is where we began this study. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we took from there. Now, if you want to turn on over, we're going to be going to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be, and that's where we've been for the last little bit. That's where we're going to be again tonight, and you can prepare for that. We've been on a journey so far. We started out talking about two kingdoms. We started about talking about the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of this world that we live in. It's the natural kingdom. And then we talked about the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God that we are engrafted into through Jesus Christ. And even though this earth is our home and the United States is our homeland and the place we are living in, this is not the world that is truly that we are of. This is the place we live. Therefore, we need to understand what it means to be a part of the spiritual kingdom. This kingdom of God is a kingdom that is already but not yet. So it is a kingdom that is already with us because Christ the King came. He lives within us, but it is not yet because it is not perfected in us, because we are still living in a world that is not perfected. And so even though the kingdom is in us, and even though we are a part of that kingdom, even though the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, we still live in a very real world. And because of that, there is a spiritual battle that goes on, because we are spiritual people living in a carnal world. So therefore, just by definition of that statement, there's going to be a battle that's going to go on all the time. And it's a battle every person is going to face, every individual is going to deal with. And so it becomes vitally important to understand how to win in this battle. And that's what we've been looking at. We've been down several roads and looked at a lot of different things, but we really focused last week. I'm not going to recap everything, but there's a battle that rages within the believer, and there is a battle that rages outside the believer. Okay, the battle within, we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Those of you that were here will remember that. We talked about that battle within, and that's where we have to cast down imaginations and high things that exalts itself above God, and everything that wants to take the place of God, and we have to pull down strongholds. And that's the battle within the believer that Christ enables us to overcome. And then we began talking about the battle outside the believer. If you'll remember, I made this statement, and this is a very important statement for you to remember. And this drawing here is where we were last week. And so this drawing encapsulates everything we've been through. If you're just jumping in, it's not going to make as much sense to you. But this little person in the middle here represented us. You can't see it now, but there was a circle there, and there's a battle within the believer. That's the believer. When Christ comes and pays the price for us, he brings us into this kingdom, the kingdom of God, but yet we are still living in the world. And in this kingdom, there are powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and rulers of darkness, and that's what's represented by these circles around this believer. That's what the enemy tries to fight against us with. And so that the battle is raging. There's a battle within, and then there's a battle. There's those layers of the battle outside the believer that we have been really focusing on and talking about how to overcome. Okay, and we took this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11, where he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what that represents. Here's the believer, okay? And so because of that, there are principalities. There are powers, okay? That's what I was mentioning to you earlier. There are rulers of darkness of this world, and then there's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And so the enemy has insulated us this fallen nature with all of these things that keep us held back. Okay? Fights us within, and then outside he's got these powers and principalities that are constantly battling against us. And I made this statement to you last week, or a couple weeks ago, and you need to remember this. Remember, the enemy intimidates. That's what those circles, those layers, they're intimidation. You begin to break through one, and here's another one. And you begin to break through that one, and here's another one. The enemy tries to intimidate you, but God prepares you for victory. The enemy tries to intimidate, but God has prepared you for victory. Never forget that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we talked about the battles for that we have to win. And we're going to carry on down that road a little bit. But let me explain this to you again just to catch you up. And then we're going to jump forward and go. So the answer to the battle within and the battle without is obvious. We talked about this, that when Christ came, he made access for us, and this is where the battle lies, for worship, putting God in his right place, for faith, putting our faith in the right place, for the past, what to do with the past, how to overcome the past, how to deal with the past. And the enemy wants to constantly bring our past back into focus and try to tear us down with that. But God has given us access to victory over our past. And then for the future, the enemy says there's no hope for the future. You're going to do the same things in your future that you did in the past. I've got you right where I want you. But Christ came to give us a hope and a future. So understand this. These four areas represent the spiritual warfare that we will be involved in. Spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle, the enemy will always be fighting against your worship, because that's how we keep God in the rightful place. He'll always be fighting against faith, because if he can take your faith off of the Lord and he can put your faith on the things of this world, he can have you. He'll always be fighting with your past. He'll try to remind you of who you were, of what you've been through, try to pull that into your present. And he'll always be trying to intimidate you about your future. But when Christ came, God the Father provided the way of victory for us. He provided avenues through each of these layers that the enemy has built up so that we can have victory. And now we finished last week talking about the fact that what he did on the cross. And we're going to pick that up tonight, and we're going to go a little bit deeper in that. And if you'll remember, we finished up talking about, here's the key to all of this, God's plan, God's preparation, is it's all about Christ in our place. Christ came in our place. He stood in our place. Christ took our place. He died for our sin that we might have victory over sin. And so once we understand that, we're going to go deeper into this tonight and pull out of this, Lord willing, how we can truly understand to win the victory in this world. Because it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to live in the victory. So Christ came in our place, and he died for us. Therefore, he has covered us. We are now in him. He's in us, but we are in him. We're going to talk about that. And then when we see the battle ahead of us, we should see Christ and what he accomplished. This is the victory. So the cross, that's why Paul would write and say, I didn't come, I didn't want to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Because that is the answer. That is the key to spiritual warfare. That's the key to you living in victory. That's the key to you living in success, is it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you need to understand that, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. You've got to be ready for that. Now, I want you to understand this. As we dive into new stuff tonight, Christ took our place. Christ hung on that cross. He died in our place. He came and did what we could not do. He made a way to something. Okay? Notice, John 14 and 6 tells us what? He is what? The way. He is the way. Russell, will you pull that up? John chapter 14 and verse number 6. You need to understand this, because here we're going to get, he's the way to the Father. He's the only way unto salvation. He's the only way unto restoration and reconciliation to the Father. He is the way out of sin, but he is also the way to new life. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He came. He took our place, and he is the way to victory. That's what he did. He's the way and the truth. So if you're looking for a way out of the battle, a way to victory, God prepared a way. His name is Jesus. The way is not you working harder. You're going to be involved in it, but it's Christ's work and you understanding what he did for you and how to apply that into your life. Amen? That's why the word says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. We can't work our way to there. It's only through Christ. Why? Because he is the way. There is no other way. When we get into those arguments, that's not being cruel. That's just simply a fact of the matter. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be victorious. There is only one way to be reconciled to the Father. And it is the way the Father described, the way the Father determined, and his name is Jesus. He is the way. He took our place, and he is the way. Okay? Now, he's the way. So, when he takes our place, he's the way to recapture our worship. He's the way to build our faith. He's the way to reconcile our past and know what to do with it. He's the way to have hope in the future. He is your way. He's your way of escape. He is your way out. He is your way to victory in this battle. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us that not only is he the way, but the Bible says, if any man be in him, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So not only is he the way out, but then if we are in him, then we are in the right way to win this battle. Amen. If you're outside of him, you can't win this battle. You'll never win the battle raging inside of you or around you if you don't follow the right way. And the right way is Christ. And the only way to walk in the right way is to be in Christ. Because if you are in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and now you have become who he is. Amen. So he is the way, and if we are in him, we become new. Therefore, we don't walk in the old ways anymore. Amen. We don't fight in the old ways anymore. We don't lose the way we used to, because now we are in Christ, who is the way the Father has provided. Okay? But let's go a little bit deeper than that. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But here's how we do it. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here, we're understanding something. He is the way to recapture worship, putting God in the right place. He is the way to faith that's on a sure foundation that the storms won't be able to blow you off of. He is the reconciliation of the past, to bring it to the present and do something new in the future. He is the way. The way we live it is by being in him. Okay? We accept what he's done. We are in him. And the way we begin to apply it in this world, because see, when you're in him, you're placed in heavenly places. You're already ready for eternity, but you're still living here. How many of you are still living on this earth? That was just a wake-up test there to see if you're awake tonight or not, because all of us are. You're still living on this earth. So therefore, if you're still living on this earth, it somehow now we're in a battle, so we have to apply what Christ has done, the way he prepared. We have to apply it. Okay? We're in him. There's a way made in him. So what do we begin to? Well, the Bible doesn't leave us there. It tells us looking to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you're in him, you're a new creature. Old things passed away, so now you're put in the right position to win the battle. You know the right direction to win the battle. So now you have to look to him. How do you do that? Well, look at this picture again. He comes to take your place. He comes to come right where you are. And now when you are looking out, you're not seeing the battles the enemy has prepared for you. You're looking to Jesus. Because, see, the enemy hemmed you in all around and me. The enemy rages, but Jesus came, took our place, won victory, and we are now in him. And so now we have to look to him. What did he do? How did he do it? How did he live on this earth? How will he live through me? Okay, we're making progress here, but he still didn't stop there. He didn't leave us there because we're still not done yet. And we've got a long way to go from being done. But if you want to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, we learn something else about this. Colossians 3, verse number 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Here. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. Oh, amen. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. And we're going somewhere. So now we set our mind. Now it becomes a mindset. It becomes, we look with our eyes, right? Because what we see with our eyes will get into our heart and we'll begin to speak that out. But now we got to set our mind on things that are above. We have to know what's been accomplished for us, and we have to set our mind there. We have to look there, not on the earth. So we got to set our mind. So we got to set our mind. We got to set our eyes. We got to have an understanding that we're in Christ. We've got to know who we are in, and we've got to understand there's a way been made out of this. Okay? Now we're just journeying a little bit. I'm gonna jump ahead, and then I'm gonna pull back and pick this up. But let me help you with the picture of this. This is a picture of the cross. All this is going on around us. We should have been on the cross, but Christ came and took our place to be the way for us, the way out. But here's what I want you to hear right now. What we've read tells us that when we are in Christ, we died with him. Here comes the key. On that cross, Jesus took our sins and he died. This is the way God prepared us to win victory. We died with him. Who you were died in him, with him. Now that he's your Savior, the old you is no more. That old person outside of Christ died with him. When Jesus died, he was buried. Amen? He was buried. That body was buried. The old man was taken out of sight and was buried and put in a borrowed tomb. Okay? Now, when it happened to Jesus, for anyone who believes in him as their Savior, we are in him. So what happened to him, amen, has happened to us. Yeah. So we died with him. We're buried with him. That old man was planted in, because unless a seed dies, unless a seed is put in the ground and dies, it cannot produce. It's put in the ground and buried, and then it begins to produce. It's no longer the seed that was planted. Oh, come on. some of y'all, you're going to have to see this a little bit with me. Because see, when Christ died and we died in him because he took our place, and so therefore we died to sin because he died for us, and we are in him, and so now we are dead to the old man. We were planted with him, amen? And so because we were planted with him, there's a seed that was planted in the ground, because there was coming a day that that seed was going to come up and produce something because of him. So we died with him. Christ died and we in him. Christ was buried and we with him. On the third day, what happened? He was risen. Amen? He rose again. He is alive again. Now watch this. This is important that you not miss this. He rose, walked on this earth for some time, and then he rose to the right hand of the Father. We did not. Spiritually, we're with him. Amen. Come on now. But physically, we're here. So here's what I'm seeing. Christ, the first fruits, was buried, rose, and ascended to the Father because his work was finished. Amen. On the third day when he rose, we were brought to life again. Because he lives, we live. For me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. So now I was brought to life in him to live on this earth in what he accomplished until he comes to take me home. Amen. I am to produce on this earth. Christ was risen and we with him. And so how does that happen? Well, he told them, okay, go and tarry, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Because I'm not going to leave you comfort. But if I go, John tells us, don't let your hearts be troubled. If I go, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm preparing a place for you. Amen. When the harvest comes, there's a place prepared for you. But there's growth for you here. And I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But the Father is going to send the Spirit to empower you and enable you to live the life I have bought for you here until I come to bring you home. Amen. How many know that the work of the Spirit in us is for here? How many understand that the work of the Spirit for us is not for heaven? It's for here. The gifts of the Spirit, they're not for when we get to heaven. We're not going to need it in heaven. We need the gifts here. Amen. How many know the gifts of healing are not going to be in operation in eternity? Because we're not going to need them. The Bible says there aren't going to be any more sickness and disease and tears and sorrow. For here. Amen. Where the gift, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we'll still live in them there, but they are for here to exhibit here. Amen. There's some things you've got to see here, because this is how we're going to win. This is what is going to happen. This is what has happened to us and what we don't understand because the enemy has intimidated us. Jesus walked on this earth for 33 and a half years showing us how to win the victory on this earth. And then he paid the price, did it for us, and said it is finished, and defeated death, hell, and the grave so that it could be established in us. Amen. See, he did not have to come and walk it out for those years. He could have just came straight from heaven, straight to the cross, and died. But he came and lived and walked. Because he's showing us, this is what I can do. See, the enemy doesn't want you to hear this, because the enemy wants to insulate you with these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. He wants to insulate you with these thoughts and strongholds and every high thought that you need to take captive and all of these things. He wants to tell you you can't do it. But guess what? He tried to do all that to Jesus, and he couldn't do it. Jesus was tempted in every way just as we are. But what else does the Bible say? He did it without sin. And people will say, well, he didn't have to go through this. Let me say, sin, temptation to sin boils down to, really, you can boil it down to those four areas. Worship, putting God in the right place, who your faith's in, what your faith's in, who you believe in, the past and the future. You can boil it down to there. John would write, and he would say, here's what it's really all about, the pride of life. Amen? Come. Amen? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You can boil it down, and Jesus went through everything without sin, showing us what, and he even went so far, Robert, to tell us in John chapter 14 and verse number 12, that greater things than I do shall you do, because I go to my Father. He came and showed us the way, lived the way, paid for the way, purchased it, established it, and then took the way all the way to eternity. And he said, now walk in that. We have the ability to have victory in our world because of Christ in us. Amen. So let's look at this real quickly, and let me give you a few things here, because you got to understand this. That we need to be fully armed. We need to get fully dressed. If you're going to win the spiritual battle, if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare, you got to understand what Christ did, what he accomplished, and you got to get fully dressed for the battle. And that's where we are going here. What Jesus did for us is amazing. And if we can understand it, then we begin to live free in this world, and we begin to walk in victory in this world, and we do not lose these battles to the enemy. Okay? We know the whole armor of God. Lance came up to me afterwards last week and was kind of sharing with me, and I told him, I said, that's where I was headed. He was just about a week ahead of me. But there's something in this. God has given us something. The Father's provision for us. I want to break this down. I want to show you what he's done. We got to keep our mind on Christ. We got to keep focused on him. We got to walk it the right way. And we got to do it in him. But if we do that, he's given us some armor to put on. He's given us some provision that prepares us to walk in the victory he's already won. Turn to someone next to you and tell them, Jesus has already won this battle. Now let me say this differently, and I want you to tell that person this, because this will even be better and be more true. I want you to turn to that person, I want you to tell them, Jesus already won your battle. Not just the battle, he won your battle. Amen? He won. So all we got to do is walk in the way. All we got to do is walk in him. All we have to do is keep looking to him, because he's already done it. All we have to do is set our mind on things above. That's Christ, where Christ is, what he's accomplished, what he has for us, and not get bogged down by the things of this earth. Amen. So you got to set your mind. And so there's something we got to do. He's given us some armor. We got to be fully dressed to walk in this. And so we have the Father's provision. Let me give you this. The word, the Bible says, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. And you're going to see something as we walk through this. The Father has given us some provision for this earth. Okay, we find it in the armor. And we're not going to take the armor in the order that it's written in the word, but we're going to just look at the armor. The Father has given us. Now, and you can even put up here the word and the shield of faith. But he's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy for the walk here. He's given us the Word, the shield of faith. Because let me tell you, that shield of faith, when the enemy tries to drag you to your past, that's a fiery dart. That's the wiles of the enemy to try to tell you you're still that same person you were. But God's given you a shield of faith. That if you will say, no, I am in Christ, He is the way to victory. When I am in Him, He is my Savior. Then that old man died, and I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the shield of faith that quenches the darts of the enemy. If the enemy says you're just going to be the same that your family was and everybody else was, your future is hopeless, you've got the shield of faith to say, no, I am in Christ. And guess what? He died. He was buried, He rose again, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm in Him. Therefore, my future is settled. You can't shake it. The enemy can't stop it. The enemy cannot hinder it. The enemy cannot defeat you, because Christ has already won the battle and has already set down the victor. So you need to use the shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Word of God is like a sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder bone and marrow. It's able to do surgery when needed and be precise. And we need to know the Word so we can speak the Word. Amen? When the enemy tells you everything, don't agree with him. Who has believed the report of the Lord? Speak God's word. Stand on God's word. When the enemy came against Jesus and tried to twist the word to tempt him and cause him to do things out of his flesh nature, what did Jesus do? He quoted scripture. Amen. Satan did too, but he twisted it a little bit. Amen. You ever known anybody that can quote scripture real well, but they just twist it just enough and get it all wrong? That's what was happening. But Jesus was using the sword of the Spirit. Come on now. The Word of God. We've been given these weapons for a reason. Use the Word. Speak the Word. Stand in the Word. Find the promises of God's Word that are yes and amen, and declare them in your life. And when the enemy tries to come and tell you something else, speak the Word. Amen. Come on now, that's our sword, that's our weapon. If you don't use the word, you're not using the weapon of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The sword of the Spirit, the word, you got to know it. You got to walk in it. You got to speak God's word. He's given that to you. Use the word on your past. Use the word for your future. Use the shield of faith in your past and tell your past, I died here. You can come no farther than here. I put the shield up. I'm not that person anymore. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. We don't walk by sight. We walk by what? Faith. And faith speaks. The shield and the sword go hand in hand. Because faith speaks. You defend with faith and you slash with the sword. Amen. So you got to understand that. Now, the word and faith points us to God and roots us in the faith we believe in. But these are weapons given to us and defense mechanisms given to us in this battle with our adversary. It's the way Jesus has provided. So you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, and you've got the shield of faith. These deal with your past and your future and your present and everything in between. You're given those weapons for everything in your life. Well, your parents were this way and that way, but faith tells me I'm a new creature in Christ. Oh, your past, you've done the same things, you've repeated the same cycles, you've done the same things, but faith tells me that old man died. Amen? and I can give you scripture on it. So not am I just now blocking the attacks of the enemy, I'm going to take the sword and beat him with it. Come on now, some of y'all need to start beating the enemy with the word of God. Amen. That's good stuff. If you'll use this, you'll begin to live victorious. Just those two things, because they're given to us on this for this journey. How many know when you're not in a battle, you don't need a shield and a sword? There's coming a day when swords will be beaten into plowshares. You're not going to need the swords anymore. They're here. They're for now. The word is to be used as the weapon of God to propel you forward and to defeat your enemy. And the shield of faith keeps the enemy from overcoming you. That's God's provision for us here. Okay? And then we have the promises of Christ. Amen. In John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Remember, we went through that not long ago. I shared a message with you about that. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. See, if you stay in the world, if you're just living in the world, in that world realm and flesh nature, you will have tribulation. But in Him, you can have peace. There's some promises there. So what has He given us that can give us peace in this battle? Well, let's look at it. It's part of the armor. Okay? The first thing that He's given us is a helmet of salvation. Amen. A helmet of salvation. And you can add it here, because you got to be saved in order for your past to be right and take it care of. And you got to have salvation in order for your future to be settled. But that helmet of salvation keeps God in the right place and keeps your feet grounded into the faith of trusting Him. You got to put on the helmet of salvation. Notice where the helmet of, notice what it is. It's a helmet. How many of you wear a helmet on your elbow? Amen. You wear a helmet on your foot. No, where do you wear a helmet at? On your head. The thing you're supposed to think with. Amen. Some of us don't, but that's what we're supposed to think with. The helmet of salvation, you put it on. What does that mean to put on? Well, you accept Christ, you're in Him, but you got to put this helmet on. You got to get your mind right. And protected. Amen. That you got to stop this stuff of thinking every other day His salvation wasn't good enough for you. You got to stop this stuff of thinking about every other day or third day. When you're a real mature Christian, you might even go 4 or 5 days before you start thinking, well, I'm just not sure that salvation is going to be strong enough for me now. You got to get this helmet on, and you got to get your mind right, and you got to understand Jesus has purchased you. He has saved you. He has brought salvation. That word is more than just preparing you for heaven. That word means He made you whole. Complete. Gives you every promise. He's provided provision for everything. It's abundance, it's life, it's hope, it's peace. Amen. See, you gotta put on that helmet. You gotta understand. There's some assurance with this. No. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we got to hear that, and we got to understand that. He didn't just change us a little bit. When we give our lives to Him and we die to ourselves and we accept Christ as our Savior. See, we've done a bad job at preaching this, I think. We don't just get saved to get some guilt out of our life. I preached to you before and told you, we don't just get saved to have fire insurance. I think that's how I spent most of my young life. Salvation was just fire insurance to me. It was hell insurance. But it's so much more than that. See, because if we don't have the concept right, then every so often we're not saved. Well, I don't feel saved today, so I'm not saved. God must be mad at me today. No, Christ brought salvation to you. Your new life is a life of salvation. Amen. The quicker you get that in your mind, the quicker you get that helmet put on. Everywhere you go, do you know if you're riding a motorcycle, you should wear a helmet. Maybe a law now. I don't know. I know it didn't used to be. They fought it. Probably I don't know what they've done with it. But you should, and you should wear it every time you go. Amen. Because every time you go could be the time, if you go without the helmet, that you lay that thing down and do some major damage to yourself. And you can recover from some road rash on your arms and some broken bones. But if you get messed up in the head, you don't recover real well. Amen. I'm not a motorcycle rider, so y'all think that I'm messed up in the head, but that's not the reason. But you should wear that. And as a believer, every day we should have this helmet. I'm a child of God. I don't always look like it. My faith's in Him. I'm His. He purchased me. He loved me enough to die for me and offer me life. I receive it. Amen? I receive it. Lord, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't have to prove it to you. I don't have to prove it to anybody else. All I have to do is say, Lord, I receive it. Amen? It's a helmet that I put on. It's what He's given to me. It's a treasured piece of being fully dressed in this concept of living life victorious and winning the spiritual battle. If you don't have the helmet of salvation on, you cannot win the battle with the enemy. Amen. So you got this helmet. It's a promise of the Lord. He's given you the mind of Christ. When you put that helmet on, amen. Any of y'all movie fans? Any of y'all Marvel movie fans? I think it's Marvel anyway. Is it Marvel? No. Yeah, it's Marvel. Iron Man. Is that Marvel or DC? It's Marvel. Thank you. I knew someone would know. Iron Man. He's not much. He's real smart when he doesn't have a suit on, but when he gets the suit on, and he puts that helmet on, and that computer's talking to him, and all everything's happening in his eyes, and he sees. Some of you are thinking, I've never seen that. I don't even know what you're talking about. But he's got this helmet on that has changed everything about him. Let me tell you, the helmet of salvation does that for a believer. When we are walking in that helmet, we're not looking with our eyes anymore. We've got the eyes of Christ. We're not thinking with just our mind. We've got the mind of Christ, who didn't think it was robbery. Amen. To be considered as in the form of God. Amen. We've got the mind of Christ. We've got the ears that can now hear the things of God and the things of the Spirit. That helmet of salvation brings all of that alive. Amen. This is how we win. Christ made the way. He made the paths, the avenues. We can worship. We can have faith. We can deal with our past. We can live with a future. He paid the price. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended on high. He's given us the Holy Spirit. But we have to get dressed. We've got to have faith, and we've got to have the word, and we got to speak it, and we got to have that helmet on of salvation. And not only that, but then, and I'm gonna close with this, and I've got so much. I wish I could go till about 10:30 and I could be done. And then, amen. I've got next week, but I don't want to wait till next week. But I will. We've got this thing called this breastplate of righteousness. It's this breastplate of righteousness. And remember, it's Christ who has taken our place, and we're in Him. Amen. And what righteousness really means is you're in right standing with God. Amen. You're in right standing. And Christ has given that to us. And what fits Him fits us, because we're in Him. And He covers our heart. And He covers those vital organs, the vitalness of life, the vitality, the things that matter most in life. We've got a breastplate of righteousness that tells us, if I'm in Christ, I'm in right standing with the Father. He's not angry with me anymore. He's not, amen, He's not against me, He's for me. He's not trying to hurt us, He's helped us. He's not trying to push us down, He's lifted us up. I've got this breastplate of righteousness now that covers my life, that says to me in my heart, where life exists, where everything pumps out of, I'm in right standing with Him because of Christ. It's not because of me, it's because of Christ. Amen. There's some assurance to that. There's peace that comes when we understand that the promise of Christ is that you have been reconciled to the Father. Righteous. You've been reconciled to the Father. You're made righteous in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Remember, I read it to you. He said that He would bring us peace. That was the promise in John 16 and 33. I've spoken to you. In me you may have peace, because I have overcome the world. And therefore I came. I paid the price. It's finished. You now can be in right standing with the Father again. You can be righteous in me. Any of you ever felt unworthy? Amen. You ever felt like you're not good enough? You ever felt like you deserved every bad thing that happened to you? Amen? Okay, in the flesh, that's who we are. But remember, those old people died. That guy that was unworthy, he died. That guy that wasn't good enough, he died. That guy that deserved every bad thing that I would bring upon myself, he died in Christ. When I gave my life to Christ, that old man died. And now I am in Christ. I am defined by Christ. I am alive in Christ. He is the source of my life. And His promise to me is righteousness. And that brings peace. See, that keeps me focused that God is in control. And that keeps my faith solid when I know that my righteousness is not in me. It's in Christ. Now we got more to go, but I'm gonna stop there. And we haven't hit the truth yet, and we haven't hit the gospel piece, and then we're just taking off from there. But you got enough to chew on just right here. Because He took your place. These avenues have been made. Through the attacks of the enemy, Jesus said, hey, I'm the way. I did it. I came and lived in this whirlwind of life that you live in, and all this was swirling around me, but I made a way to keep God first. I made a way to keep my faith strong. I made a way to reconcile the past, and I made a way to the future, and I took your place if you'll live in me. And I hung on the cross and died, and I was buried, and I rose again, and you came up out of there with me. And I left you here to produce and to represent me, and I went to the Father and sent you the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that you can live in the victory that I purchased for you here until the day that I call you home and I come and get you. And now what you got to do to live in all this is you got to get fully dressed. You got to get that helmet on. Because it's through that salvation that I'm going to be able to say the things you need to hear, show you the things you need to see, give you the ability to think the thoughts that I need you to think. And that breastplate of righteousness, you got to have that, because that's what's got you in right standing with the Father. It was me that did that. Have peace in that. your right standing. You're in me. And you've got the Father provided you a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit. You can quench the darts of the enemy. And you can beat him with the word. And you can win this battle in this world. And we're just starting, but this is a spiritual battle. See, I've told you all along when we started this, we're not in a cultural battle. Because a cultural battle is individuals determining what culture they like best and then fighting everybody else that doesn't agree with that culture. And so that becomes a battle with flesh and blood. We're not called to that. We're called to a spiritual battle. Because if we get the spiritual battle right, then we develop a kingdom culture that we can invite people to walk in with us. Amen. Here's the reality. This is the process. Amen. Stand your feet with me tonight. We're just going to pray. We'll go back into this next week. Let me just say this because it's burning in my heart. You know, I read to you the enemy. He fights us with thoughts and strongholds, thoughts, and high things that exalt itself above God. He fights us with powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness and heavenly places. He's got all these things that he fights us, our flesh. What I'm going to show you by the end of this is God has given us so much more than the enemy could ever even think of. God has given us Christ in our place. He's given us a way, truth. He's given us the one we're in. He's given us the one we look to. He's given us the ability to set our mind. He's given us a shield and a sword. He's given us a breastplate and a helmet. He's given us so much, and that's just the beginning. See, we're going to go on this journey, and he didn't just stop there. He's given us fruit. He's given us gifts. He's given us ministry. He's given us unity. He's given us so much to win this battle that if we would begin to use everything he's given to us, we would so overwhelm the enemy, he wouldn't know what to do with us. We get all bogged down thinking, oh, the devil. We used to have testimony services, and sometimes precious saints, y'all pray for me. The devil, he's been chasing me all week, and he's really been beating me down this week. I want to tell you just don't understand the weapons you've been given. The only time the devil beats me down is when I quit using all that God has given to me. Bow your head.